rolls here. Murphy and shotgun. Here's the snap. He rolls left. He throws.
Points this season. He's been an all-star pretty much every season since his breakout in 2015. Mm-hmm. And he's just been an absolute stud. We all remember the golden goal back when they won the national championship mm-hmm. in my hometown, Tampa. Mm-hmm. I was actually at that game just by complete coincidence, but it just happened to be around. But he's been just incredible so far, and this season he's not slowing down. He's I guess by his standards, he's not quite a point per game right now, so he's not on pace, but he's been phenomenal as usual.
Yeah, I think that he is, like, I think he's one of the most recent kids who has gone to the NHL who's been so successful, that, like, the BC hockey team currently looks up to him and, like, kind of wants to be just like him in a way that he's been playing so well on the Flames. And, like you said, he hasn't been a point per game, but he's gotten 5 goals this season so far. And 17 points so far this season, which is fantastic. So I think he's going to keep climbing, especially on a team like the Flames. Like, I think they're rising. So
yeah, and they had a really good year last. I mean, they won the Western Conference in the regular season, but then just like my Lightning, they had a tough wild card series against a team that was a lot more determined than them. So they've got a lot to prove this year, and so I expect them to kind of pop out of their shell a little bit once they've, gotten comfortable and gotten the whole, choke out of their system, kind of like the Lightning are doing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring up the Lightning a lot just because they make me sad, but that's how it is for
which
everybody.
Is fair, yeah.
But I think he's obviously in a really good situation to thrive. He's got, Sean Monahan centering his line. He's got Elias Lindholm on his wing on the other side. I mean, they've got a ridiculous defense core of really just good scorers. I mean, they've got the Norris winner on the back in Mark Giordano. TJ Brody puts up points. Hanifin put up a goal and 2 assists last night.
Speaking of Hanifin, also a former BC player.
Yep. Hanifin's kind of an interesting case. I mean, he started out with the Hurricanes and got traded mm-hmm. last year before the season started for Dougie Hamilton. There were a couple other pieces involved, but that was the main point of it. Elias Lindholm went with him as well, which turned out to be a huge steal for the Flames. But he's kind of never really gotten into his fullest potential. He was a really high first-round pick. I think he was top 10, if I remember correctly, and it just didn't. It never really panned out. Fifth overall. Yeah. So that's a huge, that's a lot mm-hmm. of pressure
that is.
For a guy. To
also, he's very young.
Yeah, I mean, he's still
so he has a lot of room to grow. Yeah, he's 22. I think, honestly, I don't know if you feel the same way. I think that these kids usually peak at 27, 26. I think then they're mature enough to know what to do and how to act in the NHL. That I think that's usually their peak performance. I think 22 is a little young still.
Yeah, I mean, defensemen take a long time.
Take a long time.
I mean, using another Lightning reference here, but Victor Hedman it took him until he was 26 to really just come out of his shell and become the Norris winning defenseman he is now, mm-hmm. Probably top 2 defensemen in the world. And so Hanifin has all the right pieces. He's in the right place with a Norris winning other defenseman to mentor him and help him grow into himself. And it's definitely a good actual franchise to be with, one that's winning and one that can get him that experience that he needs in the playoffs. So if they can get themselves together once they get there, then I think he'll have a lot of time to mature and figure himself out.
Yeah.
Let's see, who else do we got here? We've got Cam Atkinson last year, who's yep. one, or well, not last year, but who last year helped ruin
your life.
My entire
yeah.
life. But he's been he reminds me a lot of Johnny Gaudreau in terms of just mm-hmm. Not the way he plays. Actually, his play style is a lot different than Johnny's is, but just the stature and having to play through a lot of physicality to get his opportunities and like leading a team that like is a lot. I mean, he's this by far the smallest guy on his team, just kind of like Johnny is, and he's just put up points wherever he's been. Last year, he had a career high in goals.
I will say they're not doing so hot this year, though.
I mean, Columbus is not going to do well.
But also, like, playoffs last year were weird. I mean, it was a bunch of sweeps that, like, should not have happened.
All the wild card teams won.
Yeah.
Which has
And it was like, happened. Do you remember, it was like, if you swept, then you would get swept. And then, like, the other way around until, I think, like, literally the finals where it was, like, a 7-game series.
There was the sweep, like, basically a sweep-a-thon where the Islanders swept the Penguins, then the Hurricanes swept the Islanders, and the Bruins swept the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
And then also the Lightning got swept by Columbus, and I think those were the only sweeps of the year. There might have been one more, but I don't think so.
I feel
so.
Like there was one more, but I don't remember. Yeah. But, so I wouldn't feel too bad.
No.
No. It's, everyone gets swept.
Like, it was rough. It's hard not to feel bad when you win 62 games in the regular season and then lose four straight in the playoffs and don't get to see any more. But if they don't have a chip on their shoulder and don't, like, go crazy in the playoffs this year, then that's a huge cause for concern, because that was clearly an outlier in the playoffs. They just weren't ready.
Right.
But back to BC stuff. Unfortunately, there are no BC players on the Lightning right now, although we used to have Brian Boyle, who is one of my favorite players ever. But he now plays on the other side of the state in Florida, where he's already been a pretty good fit for them. He didn't get signed until a couple games into the season. He's only played 7 so far, but he already has 4 points. He's having an impact on a Florida team that is supposed to be pretty good this year. I mean, they've been supposed to be pretty good for a couple years now, and they keep not doing it. But this time around, I mean, I think he's going to be a pretty key cog in their bottom six, a guy who can really just, like, bring the secondary scoring, be a good large presence on the power play. And
like, Florida also has our former Blackhawks coach.
Oh, yeah, Joel Quenneville.
He's miss him.
Not doing great right now.
No, but them, I do miss him.
I mean, Coach Q is a staple.
He's an icon.
Chicago
culture
at this point.
Yes.
I think it was a mistake firing him.
I think a lot of things have been mistakes. So I would just say there's been a lot. unfortunately, also, we don't have any BC players on the Blackhawks. So
our two teams aren't topics that could discussion here, unfortunately. But.
Going forward, though, into more current NHLers who went to BC, we have Zach Sanford, who won a cup last year.
He did. He actually scored the fourth goal in Game 7.
How many people do we have etched in the cup? I think there's like 19. I want to say it's like a little under 20, but it could be above 20
Brooks
now.
Brooks Orpik is definitely one of
those. Yes, he is.
Patrick Eaves, I believe, won the Stanley Cup.
We have a lot, so that just shows, I think, how our program is.
Yeah.
Like, we have double digits on the cup right now. And I think our program just produces good hockey players.
Yeah, no,
like, overall, even if we are in, like, a lull, like, right now, like, we haven't made a tournament, I think, and this is the fourth year, if we don't make one. I think that we still have this, like, I don't know what the word is. We still have this, like, reputation to kind of uphold and, like, this, like,
we're a good development
name.
Program.
Yeah, exactly.
Coach York has just been...
He's an icon.
He's been amazing at producing players that aren't really completely unexpected. Like, a lot of these stars are late-round picks. Johnny Gaudreau is a sixth-round pick or a fourth-round pick.
He just turns them into, like, these fantastic players. So I just think that says a lot about our program overall, that, like, that's what probably, like, keeps people drawn into it and keeps all these good players coming towards us.
Exactly.
Who else?
I mean, we've got, you know, on that list there would be Chris Kreider has been... He's just been a consistently, like, difficult forward to deal with for the Rangers, although he might not spend much more time with the Rangers. His contract's ending this year. He's they're starting to move towards the youth. They've got Elias Anderson, Philip Hedl, and Kaapo Kakko. Kravtsov is back in Russia right now, but he'll be back soon. And they've just got so many young guys that are coming out, and there's just not space for him anymore. And
they
could probably yield maybe a first-round pick out of him at the deadline this year, so... It's going to be interesting to see what he does. Maybe he'll get himself a run at the Cup. Maybe they'll send him to Tampa like every other Rangers player does. I wouldn't mind that. That'd actually be kind of funny. He's the kind of guy that would be nice. That would fit in with our team pretty well. But it'll be interesting to see where he goes. But he's just been consistent. Like, this year, he's got 7 points in 14 games, which isn't great, but the Rangers aren't great, so it's not really surprising.
I do like Panarin.
Panarin's been... like, lights out for them so far, but I'm facing him in fantasy this week, and I'm not very happy with him because he keeps scoring. but he's been, like, a great thing for them. At 11.6 million, that's a... Or, I think it's either 11.6 or 11.3.
Yeah,
it's a lot of money. That's mm-hmm. the third highest, like, most expensive contract in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's where he belongs right now,
but... I think he does.
It is what it is. He's a UFA in the open market. He was going to get money, and apparently the Islanders wanted to give him more, and he went to the Rangers anyway. So it's he could be making himself 12-plus right now, mm-hmm. which is just absurd. But yeah, Kreider's been, like, he's kind of been relegated to a lower role on the team with all these young guys coming in, Zibanejad taking over that top-line center role and absolutely killing it up there. So like just like Zuccarello last year, he'll probably be on the move. But someone who just got themselves a big new contract was another one of his Rangers teammates who kind of flip-flopped around and got that trade deadline treatment, Kevin Hayes. He just signed with Philly for mm-hmm. 7 years, 7 points.
Philly's not the best, though.
No,
not the best
great.
Place to go. No. They have Gritty. Yeah. That's about it.
Gritty would be...
Gritty just distracts him from the fact that they're not good.
They're doing decent right now. I mean, like, the Eastern Conference is just completely jumbled and impossible to understand.
Yeah.
Like, Pittsburgh's doing it. Devils are pretty bad. The Panthers are the Lightning are not doing well. I mean, we're 6-5-2. We're very middle of the pack. So it's kind of all over the place. No one really knows who's really good except for, like, the Bruins, who are, like, 9-2-2 or something.
Right.
And then the Capitals are obviously going to be good again. They always are. So it's... I'm actually not sold on Philly being that bad. I think they have a pretty solid group together if Carter Hart can...
I think they're still rebuilding. I think they'll be good in, like, 3 years.
I think, yeah. I mean, they're definitely, like, they've got a lot of young guys
who
need to get... I mean, Joel Farabee just went in and has been really good. He was... Where did he go? He went to a... He didn't, obviously didn't go to BC, but he went somewhere else. Maybe mm-hmm. it was... Might have been BU, actually. I think he did go to BU.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm wrong, then I don't know. But he's already got himself 2 goals in the season for them. I think maybe like 5 or 6 games. He's been really solid, and they've got a good young group of guys that are like getting better, and they still got Giroux, Voracek, got Gostisbehere and Provorov on the blue line. If they can get the goaltending, they could be a fringe playoff team this year, I think.
Yeah, they just need to work on. I don't think they're gonna make it this year.
I think they'll be right up there with like Pittsburgh and the teams that are kind of teetering between good and
mm-hmm.
like not like falling off. So we'll see what happens there.
We also got Demko on Vancouver.
That's true.
Him
and Corey Schneider, who should be the combination, the two Vancouver goalies who. I mean, he's not in Vancouver anymore, obviously, but they should be the combo right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if they hadn't traded Corey Schneider, they wouldn't have Bo Horvat right now, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But Demko is... He's not, like, lighting it up right now. I mean, he's the backup behind Markstrom and for good reason. But he's just one of those guys who... He doesn't remind me of any goalie really in particular besides, like... I really couldn't, like, put a play style on him. I haven't seen him play all that much.
Yeah.
But he just has the... Like, I just feel like he has so much talent that it's almost impossible that he's not going to, like, turn into, like, a good starter sooner rather than
later. Right,
Like, I think...
He's going to get his time to shine.
Yeah, once Markstrom's contract's up and they've got to sign Pettersson and Besser, it'll be pretty hard for them to not, like, just turn to him and give him the reins.
Yep. So... Do we want to go through the prospects now?
We could kind of transition to that with the young players who are in the league right now. I mean, Demko's one of them. Colin White is... He's not really having himself a great start to the season, but then again, he's playing for Ottawa, who might as well be an AHL team. So
basically.
So it's kind of hard for him to keep up with other regulars in the NHL right now with that, but he's... He just signed himself a hefty new contract for, I believe, 8 more years, if I'm not mistaken. I'll have to check on that. But he's doing pretty good for himself. Our guys are getting paid, which is good to see. One second here. Then we've got Alex Tuck with Vegas, who is having a pretty injury-ridden season so far.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a goal in one of the 2 games he's played, and the second game he played, he got injured in the first period, so technically he's
How long is he on?
He's like minor injuries
right
now, but I don't think he'll be out too long.
Yeah.
Also have him in fantasy, so I need him to come back.
Yeah.
but He's been pretty solid as a third liner, probably one of the better third liners in hockey since he kind of came into the league. I mean, with Vegas, that they've got a stacked, really deep team, so it's kind of hard not to be excited about what he's going to do. And then in terms of other young, Steve Santini's playing for Nashville. He's not really up in the league right now.
Yeah.
He's playing in their AHL squad down in Milwaukee. And then Miles Wood's playing for the Devils. He's not really young, super young, but he left, 3 years ago from BC? It was 2016?
I think so.
Yeah, because he was right before we got here, I believe.
Yeah.
He's not lighting it up by any means, but he's been a solid, bottom six guy for the Devils. Helped them get to the playoffs 2 years ago, where they were promptly removed by the Lightning, but that's another thing. So, yeah, there's some good, fringe guys right now, but then the prospect pool is where it starts to get really deep. If you've got a little more insight on that than I do, because I'm more on the NHL side of things, but...
Yeah. So, just going into, I guess, the prospects that we've had that have left us, and also, who's on the team right now. I guess we could start off with, Wohl, who left us last year, who's last season. He is a prospect for Toronto, and I think he's great. I think he could be, a goalie right now for them.
I mean,
I will say he's a little... What?
In their line, they've got a really tough... backup and bat going on, so they could use him.
They could use him. I also think, though, that he's a little sporadic, so I think he needs to, chill out for a sec.
Little Jonathan Quick-esque movement.
A puck will be, kind of near him, and he'll just go, go crazy. And he'll be like, oh, no. So I think that once he works on that, I think he has a good shot. And I saw the other couple weeks ago, he shut out a game, and I think it was the first time that's happened for them, with a new goalie or something. I don't remember what the exact stats were.
The Marlies, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember what stats it was, but he did that. So that was awesome. So you can see he's still improving and stuff like that. As for other prospects that are currently on our team, we have Newhook, Boldy, and Knight, which we were all very excited for.
There are three top 16 picks from last year.
Yep.
Newhook's in the Colorado Avalanche system. Boldy's in the Wild system, which is unfortunate for him. And he'll probably get traded just Tuck was. Mm-hmm. Maybe at the expansion draft like Tuck was.
Yeah. We'll see. There is another expansion coming soon.
Next to next year. Not this coming summer, but the summer after will be another expansion to Seattle.
Which will be huge.
Yeah. We'll probably see some crazy stuff going on, but I don't think there will be as many trades as last time. I think a lot of these GMs have noticed that it's a lot better to lose one good guy than lose a couple good guys.
Right.
Florida can attest to that.
Yes.
Anaheim can attest to that. So. Yeah. But yeah, and then Spencer Knight is going to be the Florida Panthers goalie of the future. So
I heard that wasn't a good decision.
I don't think it was.
Because
they signed Bobrovsky.
Yes.
Now, it's...
It wasn't the best decision because...
Well, it's it's an interesting kind of thing because it's going to take a while for Knight to develop. I mean, especially a lot of goalies...
So we'll get to keep him for a while,
which
will be really nice. Because I was scared last year when Wohl left, and I was like, all right, what's going to happen with this team? Are we going to have, a good goalie come in?
And
we did. Yeah, and we did. So I was pretty happily surprised by that. But I think that wasn't the best decision by Florida by any means, but good decision by BC.
Goalies need a lot of time to marinate.
Yeah.
I think... They could have gotten themselves probably an easier cap hit and less term on a guy who would be a decent starter. And Bobrovsky hasn't had the greatest start to the season.
Mm-hmm.
But they're trying to win now, and that's the kind of decision you have to make. I would have preferred they got Panarin instead, which is what they were trying to get both of them.
Yeah, they were, because they were a duo. Yeah.
And instead, they didn't get
Panarin. They're best friends.
So they got Brett Connolly and Anton Stralman instead and overpaid Stralman very heftily. But they're I don't mind it just because it's gonna take Knight probably 4 or 5 years.
And we get
years.
Him at BC for a while. I know we're not gonna be at BC for a while, but I'll still keep up with BC,
oh,
so
absolutely.
I just need to know.
It's goalies tend to stay all 4 years, although I shouldn't really say that considering did Ottinger stay all 4 years at BU? I don't remember. I think he did.
I don't remember.
He's a Stars prospect.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. So going off their season so far, we are currently overall 3-4, 1-2 in conference. Jerry York puts them in a tough schedule at the beginning, and I think that's what it's a good idea though. Getting these new guys out there and like making them face the toughest teams. We lost at Denver
twice. I mean, a back-to-back situation against the number one team in the country.
Exactly, which is huge. But we also won against Wisconsin and Colgate.
I mean, Cole Caulfield's on Wisconsin right now. He's the hottest scorer in college hockey by quite a bit.
Yeah, so that was huge for us. But I think the loss at Denver was, like, also a wake-up call in a way because we were 3-0 at the time. And I think that was good. And Jerry York does it on purpose because he knows that, like, they need to get these, like, out of the way so that way they can prepare and, like, not be cocky or anything like that for, like, the actual games that are super important.
I mean, especially putting guys like college guys into back-to-back situations.
Exactly.
Like it's I feel like it's got to be incredibly tiring to.
Yeah.
Like, NHL players have their back-to-backs, but doing one as a college kid when you've got so much other stuff going on too has got to be just incredibly stressful. So
yeah.
Especially when you go to Denver, I believe is where they go.
They went to Denver.
Like, two straight games in Denver. It's a tough building to play in.
Yeah.
So it's that was definitely a good test, especially for the freshmen. I mean, Boldy, I believe, scored a goal out there.
Yeah.
Newhook just scored recently against, was it New Hampshire?
We got some good lineups,
yeah.
I will say. And then we lost to Providence, which I was kind of surprised about.
Providence is pretty solid this year.
They're pretty solid, but I just assume, like, we always beat Providence. I don't know why. I was just like, we're going to beat Providence.
I think they just have a bunch of seniors right now.
Yeah. We do have a lot of new players, a lot of our,
who are going to be.
We lost, after losing, like, Casey Fitzgerald, Michael Cam, like, you know, the backbone, kind of this team. I think, like, I was scared that the first couple games we would completely, like, just blow. And that wasn't the case, but still very impressed with this team. We have a game, we won against Providence, too, though, so it's okay. The week later. We have a game tonight versus UConn, which I'm expecting a win out of.
As am I. I'll be disappointed. I'll be there.
I'll be very disappointed. So just seeing Spencer Knight in the net is great. I think something that BC requires out of their players is being both offense and defense. And so, like, yes, we have great scorers and stuff like that, but I think having a solid goalie as a foundation and then having, like, Newhook and Boldy play both sides, kind of, and be playmakers rather than just shooters is very important. And I think that they've done that this season.
And we've seen what happens when you get a guy coming in who's like a pure shooter. And we don't know if you want to get into that, but I mean, I can talk about Wahlstrom if you want. But Wahlstrom, when he came in, was like everyone kind of touted his shot as Ovechkin like and expected him to score 30 goals or something crazy like that. And it didn't really pan out that way, so it's nice to see that we've got some guys who are like developing their two-way game, which will not only help their careers in the future, but
exactly.
Help the team now. It'd be better to be a team that's hard to play against and can score goals rather than one who has to outscore the other team.
Yeah, and so, we mentioned this at the beginning, like, BC just builds up, like, good hockey players. So I think, like, this strategy, you have to be, like, a specific player to play for BC and be successful on the team. And I think, like, that strategy, like, of making them kind of like a two-way player, helps them be successful in the NHL overall, and that's why we have so many people in the NHL, why we have so many names etched in on the Stanley Cup. Like, there's just so many reasons for that, and that's because of our team's foundation.
Yep.
Looking into the season, we got UConn tonight, tomorrow, Vermont the week after, Yale, and then Notre Dame, I'm excited for. It's at BC, and then they go to Notre Dame, which is a lot of traveling. But
is it a back-to-back game, like, same, like,
kind of, yeah,
it's a home and home, but
right,
that'll be interesting. I mean,
that'll be interesting.
Notre Dame's looking, as far as I can tell, they've been pretty good so far.
They usually are pretty good.
They haven't really brought out a bunch of, like, NHL caliber guys, but they have a really solid squad just as a group.
Yeah,
they're really deep usually, so
that'll be good fun.
When do we play BU the first time?
BU January 18th.
Dang,
we got a while till, and that'll be a fun game. I'm excited for that game. I'm actually broadcasting it.
I feel like BU is rebuilding. That's gotta be really fun.
BU is rebuilding. Yes. I don't know if they're gonna be that great this year. We have Beanpot also coming up February 3rd against BU first, which should be really fun. I think everyone will come out for that one. So the rest of the season's looking pretty good to me. I don't know. I don't see any teams where I'm like, we definitely, like, will not win against this team. I think the teams that are, like, scary, if I was to say, would be, like, UMass Amherst, maybe, just because of last year. And
UMass, they lost a lot of players.
Exactly. They lost a lot of players. That's why I'm not that scared, you know? And I think the beginning of the season, Notre Dame I'm pretty scared about, but the beginning of the season I was more, like, worried about how we would start off the season and if that would transpire into the middle and the end of the season where we were just kind of at a low and then we kind of awkwardly pick back up at the end to get in the tournament. But I think this year, one of the things we were talking about the other day was if we don't make a tournament this year, it'll be the only senior class that, like, you know,
Didn't get.
No. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It would be pretty devastating for them, I think.
Yeah. And I think that, what's his name? Our leading goal scorer, David Cotton, came back for that pure reason to, you know, make it into a tournament for this team. I think that's one of the reasons he came back, and I think he's amped about that, and I think everyone just wants to get that to happen.
I think they've got the squad to do it this year. I mean, especially if Knight keeps standing on his head like he has been, where he's just, like, he only gave up, I believe, one goal to Denver.
Yeah.
And that was it was a 3-0 game, but two of them were empty netters.
Mm-hmm.
He shut out the second game of the season after the Wisconsin game. Or did they play Wisconsin twice or just once?
They played Wisconsin once.
Okay, so mm-hmm. they played someone at – it was a back-to-back Wisconsin and then a team
Colgate.
After that in Colgate. Mm-hmm. He shut out Colgate.
They shut out Colgate, yeah. Huge.
He's been fantastic. And he only gave up three goals to Wisconsin
and Denver,
yep. who has – when they've been –
They've
offensively
been
unstoppable.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
ridiculously good. They've got probably a top five prospect in the NHL
mm-hmm.
right now in Cole Caulfield, who I've already brought up, and they're going to be a powerhouse this year, probably a team that I can see making the Final Four.
Yeah. I will say the 4-6 loss to Denver isn't that bad if you think about it.
Putting up four goals against Denver
is huge. Yeah. yeah. And I think one of the goals is probably an empty netter.
Knight didn't play that game. Well, it was a back-to-back, so it was the other goalie.
I didn't even know that.
Knight was the one. He only gave up one goal, and basically
Denver
was dominant in that game.
Right.
So he's been fantastic. I think his only slip-up was against Providence, and it wasn't.
I feel like we're pretty stacked this year, to be completely honest with you. And I think that we're kind of mending together. I don't see, like, this team being the worst team ever. Like, you know, I don't see it so far this season. And I also don't see, like, I don't know. I see them making the playoffs still.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be – if Newhook and Boldy can continue to
right.
– can become the, like, dynamos that we're kind of expecting them to be
mm-hmm.
in terms of – I mean, they're going to have to develop. They're young kids. They're both 18, I believe.
Yeah.
So, like, they've got to come into their own. But if they do, I think that it'll be pretty tough to stop – whatever offensive attack we've got going on. We've still got a bunch of seniors out there. I mean, Cotton's still playing.
Yeah.
Got Jack McBain, who was
a that first line
prospect
with,
for
like,
a while.
Cotton, Hutsko, and Mattia is just so fire. We're so glad to have that first line back. I think that's, like, a strong basis for the season, knowing that we lost so many guys. We still have that really, really strong, kind of scary first line that, like, other teams are threatened by.
Hutsko's a guy that Panthers fans are excited for. I mean,
yeah.
He was a third-round pick.
He's huge. He's huge.
2016 or 2015, I forget which.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a guy who will probably end up getting himself a bottom-six role somewhere in the NHL soon. So,
yeah.
I mean, not to mention, we've got some other pretty solid draft picks from this past year. I mean, we have Colorado's first and second-round pick this year. Drew Ellison came in as a defenseman. Last year's the third-round pick, Jack McBain, is still playing. And
right.
He's been he was actually originally, like, projected to be a first-round pick in that draft, and then the draft got really deep, and he kind of fell back. But he still has that potential to come out and be a really solid
mm-hmm.
second- or third-line center for us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, there's a lot of depth at forward, and the defense, I mean, has a couple, like, pretty high-end talent guys who could find themselves in NHL jerseys pretty soon. So.
Yeah.